This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer, and your reader, Mike Luoma. And we've got chapters 4 and 5 of The Star Seeds of Earth on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Never before podcast, because when originally podcast, Star Seeds of Earth, the first 14 or so chapters were first and early draft chapters. So this is the first time you're getting the final chapters in their final form on the podcast. Star Seeds of Earth in Chapter 4, we're going to meet up with Ruth, who is actually Alibi Jones's biological mother, and his half-brother, Hap, Happiness Kim. They're a strange duo. And in Chapter 5, we'll be getting back into our story with Alibi and Mark Edwards in Vermont, as they are on a Vermont mountainside trying to blast their way into the back of a stone chamber up on land that Edwards owns in Vermont. So that's where we'll be picking things up on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. If you want to get free books, I do have a couple of free ebooks available. The Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition is available as a free ebook. So is the very first Alibi Jones novel, which is just titled Alibi Jones. You can get those free ebooks pretty much everywhere except Amazon, because they still want to charge you 99 cents for those. Sorry, but pretty much everywhere. You know, Apple, Google, Kobo, any place else you can get ebooks, you will find those two for free, the Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition and the Alibi Jones original novel. You can get the audiobook of that Alibi Jones novel for free as well. It's available pretty much at those same places, Google Play, Apple, at Kobo, as a free audiobook. And again, unfortunately, Amazon, Audible, they don't play nice on that. It's full price there, but you can get your hands on some free audiobook and free ebooks. And there's more details, too, if you go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. I have a Patreon page for Glow in the Dark Radio for this podcast, if you'd like to help support it. We look for $2, $5, or $10 a month as far as a pledge goes. You can go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio to learn more about that, or just go to, again, glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. We'll get into chapters 4 and 5 of The Star Seeds of Earth next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, I'm JC. My co-host Cindy and I host the Fix It Home Improvement Podcast. We cover projects that every homeowner should know and top-rated products for home and garden. You can check it out on your favorite podcast app. It's called Fix It, F-I-X-I-T, Home Improvement.
Now here's Chapter 4 of The Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Ruth sat and gazed out the window of her room at the garden two stories below. Fellow members of the Family of the Light worked the land surrounding the compound. A few acres were set aside for crops. Some workers tilled furrows in the dirt and planted new seeds. Others harvested fruit and vegetables, where they'd grown ripe and ready for harvest. She was nearly ripe. 6 months along now. God was inside her. He'd always been inside of her, with her. When he came again offering his gift of love, who was she to say no? It had all been so confusing at first. They said her father had asked for her release. It had to be God the Father at work. The Cardinal, her earthly father, was gone, long ago now. No one told her anything until she'd arrived here on Fortuna and became illuminated. There was a new light leading the Family of the Light. He greeted her when she arrived. Unlike Alibi, he'd wanted his mother at his side. Happiness Michael Kim. Her son, named Happiness. Her Hap. So different from Alibi, his half-brother. Though a year older, Alibi was more immature, lacking sincerity. Hap was very serious. And Hap had a gift, too. Ruth was proud to once again be touched by the light. And prouder still, it was now her own son. She had thought it would be Alibi who had the gift. But he'd rejected her, and with her, her faith. And so it turned out to be her later son, Happiness, who shined. Of course. She knew it would be one of her sons. And so, it was Hap. And now, the new light. Her thoughts seemed to beckon him. Hap walked into her room and stood beside her. He smiled. Hap followed her gaze and watched out the window with her for a few moments. Then he looked down at Ruth where she sat. "Hello, Ruth," Hap said.
"Hello, Happiness. You are the light."
"Thank you," he said. He grew more serious. "The light is within you." "The light of God is within me," she said. "Thank you for coming." Love filled Ruth, the love of God, and for God, and love for her son, and God's son, and the light. Any small doubts or fears she'd let grow inside her mind vanished like shadows in the light. It always happened when Hap appeared. Hap smiled again. He laid a hand on the side of his mother's head. "We are all one in the light, aren't we, Mother?" Hap said.
"We are all one in the light," she said. "We are all one in you, Hap."
"You are blessed, Mother," Hap said. "Blessed Ruth."
"Would you call me by name?" she asked. "Am I Mother or Ruth?"
"You are Ruth when I act as the light," Hap said. "For then, you are more my child than my mother." She frowned. Hap pressed his fingertips against the side of her head. He pulled his hand away. Ruth grew confused for a moment. Then she was at peace and smiled up at him.
"I've been watching them plant outside," Ruth said. "You have the whole congregation out there. Maybe I should help."
"You are fine right here, Ruth," Hap said. "You're taking care of other growth. Just watch the others for now. Be the rich soil that brings forth a bountiful harvest when the word is sown." She turned back to look at the planting outside. Happiness put his hand on her shoulder as he, too, looked back out at the work going on. "Jesus knew all about growing," Hap said. "We hear that in his parables, so many about growing food. We must be the good soil, Ruth. Not the hard path where the seed bounces away, nor the rocky ground where it holds only until challenged, nor thorns where the seed withers and dies. We are the good soil." Ruth turned back to Hap, but his eyes were distant as he spoke. "We can grow and grow and reap a bountiful harvest," Hap said. 30, 60, or 100-fold. She wasn't sure he was still talking about the food they were planting below. Her attention drew him back.
Be at peace, Ruth, Hap said. For now, be at peace. As he spoke it, so she was at peace.
Chapter 5. Edwards tapped Alibi on the shoulder after a few minutes of blasting.
That enough, you think? Edwards said.
He coughed, waving his hands to clear some of the smoke from around his face. Alibi looked at the hole he'd been blasting in the soft stone of the archway next to the blockage, blown out now to about a quarter of a meter across, 2 meters high. You think we can squeeze through that? Alibi asked. Edwards walked over to the space and leaned in to look around. He shook his head as he straightened back up.
Huh, Edwards said, surprised.
No, maybe blast some more.
He stepped back out of the way.
Fwash! Fwash!
Alibi blasted away at the remaining rock, again stirring up dust and smoke. 6 additional blasts, and he'd finally cleared enough space for them to squeeze through.
I think that's good, Alibi said, peering into the space.
Edwards walked over and leaned in, looking past Alibi's shoulder.
All right, Edwards said. Looks good to me.
Go ahead.
Alibi went first and made it through easily. Edwards had a slightly harder time, being a little larger framed.
Good thing we're both in shape, huh? Alibi said, as Edwards pried his body out of the passageway.
Ha! Edwards laughed as he dusted off his clothes. You think you're in shape, Alibi.
I exercise, Alibi protested. I eat right.
Well, you're not heavy set, Edwards said. I'll give you that. But I saw you breathing hard as we climbed up here. I've known folks carrying more weight than you who could easily stroll up this hill. Don't be so judgmental. I'm in shape. You? You're thin.
We got through the hole, Alibi said, refusing to rise to an argument. All that counts right now. And look at this place, huh?
The two men cast their light bars around the space.
Looks like a cave, Edwards said.
Yeah?
Alibi shined his light on some obvious masonry work. Blocks carved out of the same rock as the walls lined the lower part of the chamber, blending into the rock itself as the wall climbed higher and became a natural-looking cave ceiling overhead.
Okay, Edwards said. A root cellar. Colonial self-storage.
Maybe, Alibi said. He glanced around, assessing the space.
He noticed something, a flash, or what was that?
A beam of light?
Turn off your light, Alibi said.
Edwards started to protest.
Just for a minute,
Alibi added, cutting him short. Edwards grumbled but complied. Alibi shut off his as well. A single bright beam of light shone down from the ceiling.
Look at that, Alibi said into the near dark. Must be a channel bored up through the rock and out the cliff face, letting in light and air.
The beam extended deep into the cave, pointing opposite the entry.
Clever colonials, Edwards said.
You think so? Alibi said. This feels older, I think.
Could be a trap. But it looks too cool to be a trap.
There's something about it. Its intent seems kind. How weird is that?
A hunch. A feeling. From a beam of light.
You're awful quiet, Edwards said. What are you thinking?
I think this light is pointing our way, Alibi said.
He turned his light back on. Edwards did the same. Alibi moved toward the back of the cave, following the beam. A gap, hidden by a bulge in the wall's design, appeared as he approached. He tiptoed into the gap, keeping his light bar in front of him.
Alibi! Edwards called out. Where'd you go?
Alibi stepped back out of the gap into the glare from Edwards' light.
Whoa! Edwards said, startled. How'd you do that? You disappeared and reappeared.
Look, Alibi said. Come over here.
He showed him the gap. Edwards' eyes widened.
It creates an optical illusion, Alibi said.
He smiled.
But the light beam pointed right here, so at least they're playing fair.
Fair-minded, clever colonials, Edward said, laughing a little at his own humor.
Sticking with it still, huh? Alibi said.
Yep.
These stairs look colonial?
Alibi gestured with his light through the gap. Edwards could see a flight of steep stone steps carved directly into the rock wall and descending into darkness, only wide enough for one person to take at a time.
Couldn't tell you, Edwards said.
Alibi played light around the staircase walls.
That's some skillful carving, Alibi said. Edwards, still taking it in, didn't answer. The surface was smooth, almost shiny. Alibi was encouraged.
Almost perfect. Not colonial.
He sniffed the air.
Still kind of fresh. Little airflow coming up. That a good sign?
What do you suppose is down there? Alibi asked. Really old and dry fruits and vegetables?
Spare me the sarcasm, Edward said. And if that is what we find at the end of those steps, you're gonna be eating the stuff. Along with your words.
Uh-huh, Alibi said. Not too worried about that.
Keeping his light out in front of him, Alibi led the way as they walked carefully, slowly, down the stairs. The smooth, carved-out passage, the stone steps, the fine, thick layer of dust on each riser, all argued for the way's antiquity. But something was off for Alibi.
It's not worn. Looks and feels old, yet it doesn't show signs of extensive use. Why build it and not use it? Maybe that trap up on top was sprung early on.
How many steps has it been? Alibi asked.
What? Edward said. You expecting me to count?
No, I guess not.
74, Edward said. So far.
You were counting.
Couldn't help it.
Thought I heard you saying numbers under your breath, Alibi said. Figured I could stop counting.
Are we there yet?
Alibi, shining his light down the stairs, leaned back against the wall so Edwards could see past him.
Almost, Alibi said. That looks like the end, doesn't it?
Edwards squinted.
Might be. Hard to tell from here.
Let's keep going, Alibi said. Then, for some reason, he thought of all the rock above them.
The entire mountain pressed down on top of them. Hit him like an actual weight on his chest. The passage's walls and ceiling closed in. Would they be crushed? Alibi couldn't breathe. He turned back to look up at Edwards. Alibi tried to speak, but no words came, lacking wind from the lungs to propel them.
You okay, Alibi?
Edwards asked, concerned. Then he stiffened and shouted,
Snap out of it, Jones!
Alibi jumped and breathed.
Whoa, Alibi said. Couldn't breathe for a second there.
You start thinking about where we are? Edwards said.
Yeah, Alibi said. All the rock
Stop, Edwards cut him off. Don't do it to both of us.
He chuckled.
Claustrophobia. Better not to contemplate where we are, trust me.
Never felt that before, Alibi said.
Gone now?
Think so.
Good, Edwards said. Just focus on the floor and the walls and the way ahead.
Alibi turned, looked at the steps in front of him, and started back down. The stairs ended in a natural cavern that had been carved out and expanded somewhat, large enough for a handful of people to stand in together. Alibi peered into the narrow passage that led off to the right, where the corridor curved into darkness.
Well, at least that flight is done, Edward said. Suppose there's another 100 steps around that corner?
Hope not, Alibi said. Let's find out.
Alibi kicked up small clouds of dust as he eased down the passage. The way straightened out after the curve, but its end was beyond the glow of their lights.
At least there aren't more stairs. Well, none yet.
Still think this is colonials? Alibi asked.
Maybe, Edward said, Maybe smugglers, like over at Smuggler's Notch.
They have tunnels like this there? Alibi asked, surprised.
No, Edwards admitted, sheepish.
Alibi laughed. What could they smuggle here? There's hardly enough room for us to walk through single file.
I don't know, Edwards said. Precious gems, gold, stuff like that?
Wasn't worth as much back then, Alibi asserted. Would have had to move large quantities. And you can see, there's no sign of this being used much, is there?
Edwards glanced around. Well, yeah, now that you mention it, he said. It's not like some of the old castles I've visited, where every step is a weird shape from all the people walking on it. Those steps were smooth.
What if it is a trap?
Hey, why'd you stop?
Sorry, Mr. Edwards, just a thought hit me.
Call me Mark, remember?
He said, smiling. He got more serious.
You thinking it's a trap?
Yeah, Alibi said. How did you know?
Edwards cut him off. It's too perfect, Edwards said. Isn't it? One of your enemies could have set all this up to snare you, right?
How do you know I have enemies? Alibi asked.
Who else would lay a trap?
Well, I don't want to sound paranoid, but it is good to consider all options, isn't it?
Sure, Edwards said. You do, though.
What?
Sound paranoid, Edwards said. Whether you want to or not.
He smirked.
If they wanted you dead or kidnapped, they'd do it. They wouldn't construct an elaborate trap to get you. What would be the point? If they're wealthy enough to put this whole thing together, and behind my back, on my property, I might add. Well, they'd be powerful enough to just do what they wanted, wouldn't they? You see? If they could do this, they wouldn't have to. Hear what I'm saying?
Got a point, Alibi admitted. So, you don't think this is a trap?
For you, personally, no, Edwards said. For the unwitting trespasser like us, maybe.
Sorry you're dead, nothing personal?
More like that, Edwards said. Yeah.
Should we keep going? Alibi asked.
Well, yeah, sure, we've gone this far, right?
Alibi started walking again.
How did you know I was thinking it was a trap? Alibi asked.
Because I thought about that about 50 steps back, Edwards said. Had to wait for you to catch up.
Oh, really? Alibi said.
Really?
Hey, is it glowing up there?
There was a dim, bluish-white light ahead. The corridor made another turn before its source, so they couldn't see what was shining. They directed their light bars toward the ground as they approached the curve. No need to make a target of themselves as the place lightened up. Around the corner, the passageway opened onto a cavern. Icy blue light shimmered off the rock walls and from overhead, emanating from a source on the other side of the cave, still hidden by the stalactites and stalagmites.
I don't see another exit. This looks like the destination. Why? Gotta be the light, right? What is this?
Alibi walked over to the source of the glow. A sheet of blue-white light stretched from ceiling to floor, wall to wall, across the opening to another much smaller cavern. The light seemed opaque, the white in its glow obscuring whatever lay past its illumination.
Alibi squinted at the wall of light.
Is someone in there? It looks like someone is in there.
Mark, come look at this!
He walked over next to Alibi and the wall of light.
A force field, Edwards said. Old one.
Can you see through it? Alibi said. Squint just so and you might be able to. Looks like someone is trapped in there.
Edwards came over and stared into the glowing blue-white light.
Maybe. I don't know, Alibi, Edwards said as he squinted.
Should we touch it? Alibi asked. Can I?
I don't know if that's a good...
Before Edwards could finish, Alibi reached out and touched it. The force field shifted from translucent to transparent for a few moments, long enough for Edwards and Alibi to see that there was indeed a man inside the cave
behind the light barrier. Nothing seemed to happen to Alibi. I'm okay, Alibi said. I touched it and I'm fine.
There is someone in there, Edward said. Maybe a priest.
The field didn't hurt me, but there was no give to it, Alibi said. I don't know if we can get past it.
Edwards reached out and touched the light. He pushed his palm flat against it. The field didn't change this time.
Yeah, he said. No give it.
Edwards stepped back, his arms dropping to his sides. He stared straight ahead, although his eyes appeared unfocused, seeing nothing.
What the hell?
Alibi said, staring at the now unmoving man.
What happened to him? Did the force field do that?
He snapped his fingers in front of Edward's face. No response.
Hello.
What? Alibi heard someone say, hello. It was not Edwards. He didn't know where the voice was coming from.
I slumber, and yet I sense you.
The voice spoke inside of his mind.
Who are you? Alibi asked.
I am the Archmage. Open your mind.
That was Chapter 5 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio.
I am the Archmage. Open your mind.
The Archmage under the mountain. We'll get back to Alibi and the Archmage under that Vermont mountain in our next episode. Although the next chapter we're going to be catching up with an old friend of Alibi's, Katie Ramsey, intergalactic assassin at this point. So she's coming up in our next episode in Chapter 6, and we'll do Chapter 7 as we get back under the Vermont mountain with Alibi and the Archmage. Coming up on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Please think about supporting the podcast by going to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio and pledging to become a member for $2, $5, or $10 a month. And remember, you can get free ebooks and a free audiobook. The Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition ebook is available for free. So is the original Alibi Jones novel, which is just titled Alibi Jones. And that Alibi Jones novel, the original one, is also available as a free ebook or as a free audiobook on top of a free ebook. Now, those aren't available for free at Amazon or Audible, but everywhere else. So, Apple, iTunes, iBooks, Google Play, Kobo, everywhere else you get ebooks and audiobooks, you can get those for free. And there's details too at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. Chapters 6 and 7 coming up on our next episode. That's all for this one. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2021 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.